Hello, Peter Squire here, Winnipeg Regional Real Estate Board's Vice President, External Relations and Market Intelligence. I'm your host of this special podcast series of The Voice, where we interview 2022 mayoral candidates to hear what they have to say on issues important to the real estate industry. The Winnipeg Regional Real Estate Board serves over 2,400 members in and around the Winnipeg metropolitan region who, in 2021, transacted over $6.5 billion in residential real estate through our MLS cooperative selling system, and significant amounts of commercial real estate development, sales, and leasing through our CPIX commercial real estate system. We believe that real estate is amongst the most important facets of the economy, servicing diverse business sector locations and housing as the anchor to where we live, work, play, and invest in. Welcome, Jenny Mutkaluk. Thank you for joining us on The Voice today. Let's get started. If elected as mayor, what strategies will you implement to reverse the trend we are seeing where more people are leaving our city to go to other provinces than coming here?
Well, thank you very much. And thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here today and to talk about my vision for Winnipeg going forward. And it's true that the population of Winnipeg is increasing at a modest rate today. With all of the immigration and such, we've been averaging about 1% a year. And if we want to attract more citizens to the city, because that's what we're talking about, right? And not only attract more citizens, but encourage our kids to stay here. And I think that that's something that a lot of us want to do. We have to start with the understanding that Canadians get to choose. We get to choose which town or city we want to live in. This election is about leadership. And so I will say that the role of a leader is to bring people together. That's the first job. And we can work together to build on our strengths and our values that are already here. And what we have to do is show the rest of the country that Winnipeg really is the very best place in Canada to live, to work, and to raise a family. And we have to become a city of opportunity. We have to become the place where the young people flock to start their careers because there's so many great opportunities here. And we also have to remember that the city, in addition to good jobs, has to offer all the things that make life worth living. And Winnipeg has a wealth of that stuff, right? It's one of our greatest strengths. And so the focus of my tenure as mayor will really be on three things. One is encouraging and inspiring growth and investment. What are all the things that we can do to turn on this machine of making private sector investments happen so that we can become this city of opportunity? And to do that, a really important tool is effective and efficient service delivery, and I think we'll get into that a little bit later. But that service delivery supports our lifestyles, but it also supports our ambitions. And the third piece, talking about the things that make life worth living, because it's not just about hard work and money, is it, right? But we need to have a focus on celebrating what we are, which is a truly great prairie city.
Thank you for that. Next question. What are your strategies to attract business investment to Winnipeg? And what sectors do you believe should be focused on?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And thank you for that. I think, as you may have surmised, I believe that a thriving private sector is the key to a successful city, period. Successful businesses provide jobs and taxes. But you know what else they do, Peter? They provide livable neighborhoods. They create thriving downtowns. No government is going to create a thriving downtown or a thriving exchange district. It's the business owners that go in there and provide their shops and services that do that. And, you know, in my career, I've spent a lot of time working to encourage businesses to make investments in Winnipeg. I was part of the Yes Winnipeg initiative a few years ago. And during that time, I helped companies choose to invest over $135 million into this city, which created 400 jobs at the time. And I've written extensively on this topic, too. And so all to say, I've spent an awful lot of time talking to business leaders, large and small, local and from away, and asking them what's important in their investment decisions. And what I learned is that they all really want the same thing, which is a supportive community. That's it. And Winnipeggers, by our very nature, well, we're super supportive as individuals. It's actually one of the hallmarks of a Winnipegger. But what could be improved is the interaction that the businesses have with our city government. Mainly, the thing that I know is that would-be investors want to know that the city is doing all that it can to protect their investment. And to be clear, businesses are more interested in seeing the core services be effectively delivered, way more interested than that, in that than any sort of program or tax break or public money that might go into this project. They don't want the special programs. You know, overwhelmingly, the majority of businesses that I've spoken to have specified things like transit and streetlights and garbage pickup and snow clearing and public safety. Those are the things that are the barriers to their success. And all of that tells me is that the attitude and the culture of the city leadership and its employees is tremendously important.
What steps will you take to address the issue of Manitoba being one of the provinces with a chronic shortage of residential dwelling units?
That is a great question. And one of the things that I know is that municipalities have tremendous influence over the availability of housing, more so than any level of government. The feds can't build houses in Winnipeg, and the province struggles to influence it as well. And so if we all agree, and I do, that more housing of every type is what's necessary in our city, right? And I don't think it's up to the government to prescribe what type of housing that should be necessarily. But if we want to do that, we have to take a look at the city policies that exist today and recognize the negative consequences of some of the policies that we've experienced recently. So I can think of particularly the impact fees that were even on infill housing, right? And things like the restrictive zoning regulations and the fact that the zoning regulations don't appear to be enforced evenly across the city. And there's also the practical effect of delivering services again, right? So I've heard that there are often chronic delays in issuing of building permits and inspections and occupancy permits. And those are huge deterrents to someone who would invest in building housing in Winnipeg. And those investors should be treated like anyone else who wants to invest in the city, which is to say they should be met with enthusiasm and support and efficient and reliable services. And, you know, I'm particularly interested in ways to support people who provide affordable housing for our neighbors who live on income assistance and low-income individuals, because those are the people that are most at risk for housing insecurity, and they're often just one bad month away from homelessness. And we all know that the homeless population of Winnipeg has certainly become more visible over the years. And I also know that Winnipeggers agree with me when I say that no one in a city as rich as Winnipeg should not have a place to call home, right? So we need to support the people who choose to provide affordable housing, and we need to encourage them to do more of it. And in particular, we need to look at ways that we can encourage these landlords to refurbish the abandoned buildings, the abandoned apartment buildings, the abandoned houses, get the plywood off the windows, and get those things back into the rental pool.
Thanks again. How will you build and lead a team at City Council to ensure we receive funding to support growth-enabling infrastructure?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because growth-enabling infrastructure is my favorite kind of infrastructure. You know, in fact, projects, those are the projects that we should be doing as fast as we can. Because the faster we do it, the sooner we realize the benefits, right? And, you know, strategic infrastructure that results in more private investment is a priority for me. And that's something that is a big piece of my theme of encouraging and inspiring growth and investment. You know, and in particular, I think about the Chief Peguis West extension, which would open up a large part of Northwest Winnipeg to commercial and residential growth. And that road should have been built many years ago, decades ago. And the longer we wait, the more expensive it becomes, and we miss out on all the benefits, the years of benefits, right? And that, you know, another great example is the water and sewer out to Centreport, the Winnipeg Centreport lands. Mm-hmm. You know, 4 years ago, I calculated that it was only going to be 1 or 2 years of tax revenue that would fully pay for that infrastructure. So there's absolutely no reason that it shouldn't have been done. And those types of investments are things that we don't have business delaying. So in order to fund those things, we have to have a strong focus on finding all the ways that we can fund them. And if it includes senior levels of government, then that's great.
Okay, final question. What benchmarks and actions will you take to move key projects ahead faster to sustain delivery of core civic services?
Good question. Well, I've talked a lot today, haven't I, about the need to deliver effective services. And that includes everything. Snow removal, transit, road repair, garbage pickup, you name it, street lighting, public safety. Because everybody in Winnipeg depends on the city government to do its job well. And the reason is because those services are the things that support our lifestyles. But as I've said, they also support our ambition and they support investment. And that is a really key piece for me. So the first thing that we need to do is actually start measuring how we're delivering these services. You know, Winnipeggers should have an opportunity to see how well we're doing, what our performance metrics are. And I'm talking about the difference between, you know, the top line transit budget versus the cost per ride, because that's a lot more interesting, isn't it? Right? Things like, how much does it cost us to pick up a residential garbage can? And how often do we do it? So once we start measuring these things, we can identify the services that we think are most important to improve and work on that really hard. But it is about measurement. It's about performance metrics, and the citizens of Winnipeg deserve those.
Thanks, Jenny. That's been terrific getting to do this podcast with you, and I wish you the best of luck in your campaign. And again, I appreciate all your insights that you've shared with us today.
Yeah, well, thanks very much. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you for participating and sharing your vision on issues important to the Winnipeg Regional Real Estate Board, its members, stakeholders, and all Winnipeggers. To our valued listeners, please tune in for more episodes of The Voice, where we invite mayoral candidates to share their vision for Winnipeg.